KMVP FM, Phoenix, ArizonaSports.com, the Arizona Sports app, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what is going on, my friend? How are you? Ready for the All-Star game tonight?
Assuming they can
as
play.
As long as the rain stops, we might have an All-Star game. Paul Goldschmidt is the DH tonight.
Every story I've read, and apparently it's been raining for the better part of the day in Washington, every story I've read is that it's fully expected to clear out by this afternoon. Everything's going to be okay. No big deal. Shouldn't be concerned
God,
about kind
it's
of a
rain.
Delay.
It's not going to hurt anybody. As long as there's no lightning and you know, just go play.
It sounds like it's going to be okay.
I got to wear a twisted ankle. I mean, I know these guys make a lot of money. Go play. The rain.
An hour ago, we were starting to wonder, hey, what are we going to do if it rains? But we think it's going to be okay.
Cancel the game. Do you play it tomorrow? What do you do?
Yeah, I think you'd play it tomorrow. But it doesn't sound like we're going to have to worry about that. We are not in the Auction Community Studios today, and instead we are at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers on 7th, just south of Bethany Home Road. This is your destination to come watch Paul Goldschmidt as the starting DH in the All-Star game and hope that Zach Greinke and Patrick Corbin get into the All-Star game. Come watch the game here tonight at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers and get here between 3 and 6
happy
and take
hour.
Advantage of their terrific happy
yeah,
hour.
I got a great happy hour with great drink specials. Domestic pints, just $3. They got Four Peaks pints, just $4. They've got great food like jumbo salted pretzels for $6 and Hellfire chips and hummus and pita and mozzarella sticks and All-American burgers, just $8. I mean, they got some really great specials during happy hour from 3 to 6.
Yeah, they've also got domestic beers on tap, so you can get Coors Light, a $3 Coors Light pint until 6 o'clock tonight. It's Cantastic Tuesdays. You can get cans of beer for $3 on Tuesdays here at Cold Beer and Cheeseburgers. So, again, happy hour 3 until 6, the pull tab promotion they have, your chance to win a round of golf. Everybody wins something when you come in here and ask for one of the pull
tab right here. This is pretty – everybody walks in is going to get a pull tab.
Yeah.
So you could be holding $1,000 or one of these great gifts. Two-night staycation at a luxury resort. You've got a golf foursome up to 30%. Everybody wins. So everybody wins. No matter what, everybody's a winner. Come in and get the pull tab. Have lunch, and you're going to get a pull tab at the end. You might get 20% off, 30% off. You might get golf. Everybody's a winner.
7th Street, just south of Bethany Home, Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. Let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going deep. Deep. Today's top story, Burns and Gambo.
Going deep. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Uh-oh. Looks like it's going to be the L.A. Dodgers for Manny Machado.
No! No!
I feel your pain, Luke. I feel your pain. I feel what you're fighting.
I would love to tell you that right now at 2:03 on Tuesday that the Diamondbacks are conceding and admitting that they're out of it and that he's going to the Dodgers, but that would be a complete lie if I told you that that was the case. The Diamondbacks have no indication at this point that he is going to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Really?
And they are still trying to negotiate with the Baltimore Orioles. So at this point, at 2:03 on Tuesday, the Arizona Diamondbacks have no indication that he is going to the Los Angeles. Now, he very well may go there. But as of right now, there is no indication to the Diamondbacks organization that Manny Machado is going to the Dodgers. All the reports say he is.
Yep.
They do not have any indication. I told you yesterday that they were a long shot, but they were still trying.
Yep.
My understanding is that, yes, as of right now, they are still trying. They still would not put Duplantier in any deal to get Manny Machado, but my understanding is that they are still talking to the Baltimore Orioles right now.
Well, look, there's a lot of moving parts here, obviously, and certainly from Baltimore's standpoint. And let's be honest, from Major League Baseball's standpoint, this is in some ways the last thing they want. They want tonight to be about the All-Star game. They want tonight to be a celebration of their best in their sport. They don't want today to become the day Manny Machado got traded. So I'm sure, Gambo, there are a lot of things in motion right now to prevent this story from coming out today, right? Nobody in baseball wants this story to come out today. It would take all the attention away from the All-Star game, and they don't want that.
The question right now, should Manny Machado play in a game tonight? Should he play? Rainy conditions, wet weather, what if Manny Machado does something, injure himself? He's got to go to DL. I mean, you're not going to trade for him because he's a rental.
He's a starter.
He's a rental.
He got voted a starter.
I know.
All-Star
I mean,
game.
Does he get one at bat and then go away? I mean,
that I could see happening.
I mean, but what if he does something in the field? And what if he's running the bases and the field's a little soggy and wet? And I'm just saying, they're questioning whether Manny Machado should even play in tonight's All-Star game.
Dave
if
Roberts,
he's going to be traded tomorrow.
The manager of the National League team is Dave Roberts.
Yeah.
He's also going to be Manny Machado's presumed manager, probably in about 12 hours. Or so. Does he put in a call to AJ Hinch and say, hey, do me a favor, one at bat for Manny, then get him out of that game because he's our property and we don't want him getting hurt on this left field?
Let me ask you something. If there was no All-Star game and the Baltimore Orioles had a game tonight and they were going to trade him tomorrow, would he play tonight?
No, but if there was no All-Star game, but I'll go one further. If there was no All-Star game, Manny Machado would be on somebody else's team today. Today. The only reason they haven't announced it is because of the All-Star game. That's the only reason. Because baseball does not want attention taken away from the All-Star. If tonight we're just a garden variety Orioles game against the Boston Red Sox, Manny Ramirez is not in that lineup. He is on his way to wherever he's going. That's the only reason why they haven't announced it yet.
Let's go into this Dodger thing. How much do we believe that it is the Dodgers? It was a John Heyman report, correct?
There was a couple reports. There was a John Heyman report. There was a Bob Nightingale report. Bob Nightingale's was the most definitive. He reported the Baltimore Orioles, barring a last-minute snag, his words, not mine.
Okay, which could happen.
Yeah. Will trade all-star shortstop Manny Machado to the Dodgers on Wednesday, according to a baseball official with direct knowledge of the deal. The official spoke to USA Today Sports on the condition of anonymity because the trade has not yet been finalized. There are other reports that suggest, and I'm looking at one from Scott Lauber, who's the beat writer, covers the Phillies for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He tweeted out this morning that the Phillies are still, quote, aggressively motivated, close quote, and optimistic of landing Machado in a deal.
I don't know that I believe that this is done. I'm telling you that the Diamondbacks have received no indication that the Orioles are trading him to the Dodgers or that any deal is finalized and that the Diamondbacks are still trying and having conversations with the Baltimore Orioles. Now you've got the Phillies.
Yep.
Somebody connected to the Phillies.
Beat writer who covers them for the Inquirer. Yep.
Who's also saying now that the Phillies are being aggressive and that they're still trying.
Okay, but
I mean,
but here's my question to you. Okay, and answer this one for me as best you can. How can the Diamondbacks be in this game if they're not going to include Duplantier? I mean, the outfielder that the Dodgers are putting into the prospect in the deal reportedly is a top 100 guy. The pitcher that the Phillies would trade in the deal is a top 100 guy. If the Diamondbacks only have one top 100 guy and they're not going to offer him for Manny Machado, how? Tell me how they're going to get this done if they're unwilling to include him.
I'm not going against you. John Duplantier is not in the deal. The Diamondback, he's off the table. The Diamondbacks are not willing to put Duplantier, their top pitching prospect, in a deal for Manny Machado.
So what I'm suggesting,
that's off the table.
What I'm suggesting is that the Diamondbacks' belief that they're still in this is probably more wishful thinking than anything else. That's what I'm suggesting.
They have not been told that they're out of it. There is no indication that they're out of it. Sometimes you find out, are you done? You're throwing in a towel, and at this point they're not. At this point, they're still attempting to have conversations, and they have a lot of players in this system, and even have some players at the major league level. I'm not saying, listen, I said yesterday they're a long shot. I'm not changing my mind here.
I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying it sounds like wishful thinking to me that they think that they're still in this thing.
But listen, if they were out of it, I would know, and I would say they're out of it. That's it. They're done. They're out of it. They have not heard that they're out of it yet. Until somebody tells you you're out of it, you still continue to negotiate.
Let's base the next 60 seconds then on the hypothetical that it is the LA Dodgers.
That sucks.
There you go. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.
No, like that would just suck.
That would suck.
Like that would be like that's the worst case scenario. I mean, it is.
It is.
I mean, that's now.
Is it
if you're the Diamondbacks and you keep hearing this Dodgers, could they be doing it to try to get the Phillies or the Diamondbacks or somebody else to put in a prospect that they've been reluctant to put in?
Of course. Absolutely. It could be that if you're the Baltimore Orioles, you're leaking this information out to the Bob Nightingales and the Buster Olneys and the John Haymans and everybody else.
That's it. We're close.
Yeah, that's it. We're so close, man. We're at the 10-yard line. We just got to push this thing over the goal line in an effort to spur the best offer you can get out of the Diamondbacks? Absolutely. In an effort to spur the best offer you can get out of the Philadelphia Phillies? Absolutely that is possible. That's 100%. And maybe that's why nobody has come out and said, it's done. It's over. Machado's going to the Dodgers. Because Baltimore still wants to leave that door slightly cracked.
But isn't every reporter also leaving that door slightly cracked?
Slightly ajar.
You know, barring a last minute, just in case. I mean, it's sports. Things like that happen. You know, I mean, it does. It happens. I was the victim of it when the Suns were going to take DiVincenzo. And I had three different teams telling me that the report was in that they were taking DiVincenzo. And at the last second, they got a trade call 30 seconds later. By the way, I also heard from the Suns that they were taking DiVincenzo. And they ended up taking somebody else.
Sure.
They ended up making a trade 30 seconds later. Things can happen last minute. Right now, it's Dodgers. Now, I'm not saying I would listen, if you said I got to bet a mortgage payment right now on where he's going, I would say the Dodgers.
Sure.
But I'm basing it on information. And none of that information is it's a done deal.
Yeah.
He's going to the Dodgers. He's going to the Dodgers, but barring a last-minute change of mind or somebody, what if the Phillies throw in one of their top prospects and say, yeah, there's no way.
Yeah.
Can't have him go to the Dodgers. We're going to give you this guy.
Or
what if the Diamondbacks said, you know what, okay,
Duplantier's
in the deal.
Duplantier's out, yeah.
He's in the deal. Can't have him go to the Dodgers.
It's possible.
That's why.
It's possible.
I have not heard that the Diamondbacks are out. If I did, I would tell you. They're a long shot, but they have been given no indication that they are out of this right now. No indication.
Boy, that would suck.
So yeah.
There's really no other way to phrase it. There's no other way to put words to it.
Could be the poll question. If Manny Machado goes to the Dodgers, sum it up in one word.
Well, I think suck would get 99% of the vote.
No, there might be better words.
More intelligent words.
I don't have an expanded dictionary like you college guys
deplorable.
Do.
Deplorable. It
right.
would be abysmal. It would be god awful, or it would just suck. 99% would
That'd
say
be a good.
It would
we
suck.
Should put that in a.
I am shocked and chagrined. It's outrageous, egregious, preposterous.
There are your three words. Jackie Childs just provided three of the words for the poll questions. Egregious, preposterous, outrageous. Yeah. What am I doing here? It's Ticket Window Tuesday. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. Today, we are giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to go see the D-backs take on the Rockies this Friday night at Chase Field. Listen at 4:15 this afternoon for your chance to win. New information coming out on the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, and it provides some answers on what kind of punishment he could be facing. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Dave Burns. John Gambadoro.
So you got something you need to tell us, Gambo?
Burns and Gambo. Afternoons on your drive home. 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station.
John Gambadoro, Dave Burns. We are the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Thanks, as always, for hanging out with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We turn our attention to the Arizona Cardinals and the news that we were all sort of anticipating would be coming, according to our sister station's website, KTAR.com. Arizona Cardinals general manager Steve Keim pleaded guilty Tuesday to extreme DUI, according to court records. Details of the case were available on the Chandler Municipal Court website. The violation was listed as extreme DUI, meaning his blood alcohol content was above 0.15. The limit for a standard DUI is 0.08. No details about his sentence were immediately available.
Yeah, and a super extreme is anything above a 2. So he was in the middle. There's three different DUIs. He was in the middle one. He didn't have the regular DUI, but he did have the super, but he did not have the super extreme.
He had the extreme. He didn't have the super extreme.
He had the extreme, not the super extreme. So
yes.
The extreme is anything between a .15 and a 2. The super extreme would be anything over a 2. So the results are out on the website. And the interesting thing here is that he pled guilty to it. He owned up to it. There's no court dates. There's no one. He just pled guilty to it. Now, you know, we'll see. Extreme DUI is a class 1 misdemeanor. A conviction can result in 30 days in jail. Jail times can be modified, although not lower than 24 hours if probation terms are followed. So we'll have to find out what happens next,
right?
As far as that is concerned. But the report did come out, and he did get the super DUI.
He was close. I'm looking at the further information that our news team was able to gather on this. He was close to the super extreme. According to what I'm looking at, he was a 0.193. 0.20 was the threshold for a super extreme, which would have been worse in terms of potential jail time and things like that. So now we wait to see what the league is going to do about this. Mike Florio was a guest last week on the morning show on Doug and Wolf from Pro Football Talk, and he said that the blood alcohol content will kind of be the determining factor when it comes to what the league is going to do about this.
With non-players who aren't subject to any type of union protection, it's basically whatever the team or the league wants to do, and there's broad language in the individual contracts allowing them to impose punishment when there's any type of detrimental conduct. So, you know, I think that once this is resolved, then the NFL will make a decision on what to do with Keim. It's possible the Cardinals will impose the suspension themselves. And I think one key fact that we don't know yet, that I have yet to see reported, that will come out eventually, what was the blood alcohol concentration as measured in Steve Keim? And the higher that is, the more likely there's going to be a significant punishment.
Well, based off of that, it was not your standard DUI. It was higher than that. I don't want to say significantly higher. It was higher than that. And that could impact the amount of punishment that the league decides to pass down on him. And certainly the amount of punishment. And that now that's, like you say, that's sort of the next step. Jail time. How much? How many days? Suspension from the Cardinals. Suspension from the league. How much? How many days?
Sure. And, you know, for this point, I mean, you know, what we're seeing, what we're reading is he pled guilty to it right away. I mean, this is not. You know, a lot of times you see people not. He pled guilty to it. He owned up to it right away. Contacted the Cardinals. He did it. He pled guilty to it. There's no fight here. There's no argument. I'm pleading guilty to it. He probably wants to get this behind him, and he wants to move on and not have this drag out. And I don't blame him for that. Listen, here's what I said last week, and I'll say this again. Whatever, you know, we don't condone drinking and driving.
Nope.
We don't condone it. It's not something we want. We want to see. He did own up to it. He should not be fired, in my opinion. There's no reason that you should fire him. He's done a good job as a general manager. And the reality is, you know, that's part of the deal. You know, Michael Floyd got kicked off the football team because he was a jerk and because he wasn't a very good player. If that had been another star wide receiver who had done that, he wouldn't have been kicked off the football team. So, you know, it does depend on whether you're good at what you do or not. If you're really bad at your job, then they tend to get rid of you. If you're really good at your job, then they tend to not to look the other way, but they tend to. It's the truth. It's the truth.
They're more willing to live with your faults and the things that you have done wrong if they value you as an employee versus if they don't.
Right. Now, there'll be punishment. And honestly, I mean, whatever the punishment is, but that by the law, well, that's what he deserves to get. Like,
yes.
if the punishment says you need to go to jail for 2 weeks, 30 days. You know, I'm talking to some police officers now. They say 30 days in jail, all but 9 suspended. So we would have to do 9 days. If he has to do 9 days in jail, he does 9 days in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you should get a break. I don't think that you should be like, hey, you know what? The normal guy gets 9 days. He should only get 3 or 4. If it's 9 days in jail, then get 9 days in jail. That's it. I'm in favor of that. Listen, we know this guy. We like this guy. He made a terrible mistake. Okay, he owned up to it. He's going to do his punishment. And then he's going to move on and get on with his life and probably do a lot of good. Hopefully never make this mistake again. But in the meantime, there is a punishment that has to be doled out for what he did. And I'm sure that he's going to accept that punishment
And hopefully for him, something good will come out
sure.
of it.
Sure. I mean, it does. It makes me wonder the next time it happens to one of the players on the Arizona Cardinals, you know, how will it be dealt with any differently? It depends.
Is the player a good player?
Will it bring up kind of these old memories that, you know, that we have? And a lot of it, I hate to say it, but it's true. A lot of it does depend on who you are and what your standing is with the organization.
With the organization, not the law. The law is different.
The law, right.
There can be no bending
of the law. The law needs to be the consistent standard.
Right,
here.
I totally agree.
There can be no favoritism. There can be no special treatment, none of that. The law needs to be the standard. Within an organization,
it is different.
Up to the organization to decide, well, this guy got that guy. There's no standard. There's no one-size-fits-all way of looking at
these
things.
And it never will be.
No, and that's life.
That's life.
Think about your office where you work. People are treated differently.
Yeah.
People can get away with different things
you
in your office.
You take this top salesman that's making millions of dollars for a company, and something happens to him. I'll tell you what, not that they're going to look the other way, but you'll get a slap on the wrist, you'll get punished, you'll get yelled at, and you'll go back to your job. The guy that's really struggling to meet his quota every month, he's fired.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I know,
there's a couple of exceptions here, of course. If the guy who's your top sales guy keeps getting in trouble, you can only slap him on the wrist so many times.
Agreed.
And in Steve's case, he's not some repeat offender. I know he had the one way back in, what, like 1996, long time ago. It's not like this is a chronic thing with him. It's not like it's always coming up. He's always if that were him, if that's what was going on here, then I would have a different take about Steve Keim today. As it stands right now, this is, for all intents and purposes, his first offense for a guy who's a valued employee with the organization.
A top general manager in the NFL.
And
a guy made a terrible mistake, and now
he needs to learn from it.
Well, he's got to do it. The biggest thing, honestly, it's not the 9 days in jail. It's not the fines. It's the embarrassment. You're embarrassed.
Sure, of course.
You feel like you let people down. You feel like you let the organization down. You feel like you preach a certain thing. You want your players to act a certain way, and then you get in trouble. It's not. Steve's a grown-up. He'll deal with the consequences. If he's going to have his license suspended, he'll deal with the fact that he has his license suspended. If he's got to go to jail for a few days, he'll go to jail for a few days. You know, the toughest part about anything like that is just the embarrassment. And that, you know, time will heal those certain wounds, and you'll move on. And, you know, a couple months will go by, and it'll be in the past. And, you know, it'll still always be there in the back of your mind and the back of people's mind. But the initial thing is just, you know, more the embarrassment. Because you know you don't want things. You want to live a good life. You don't want to get in trouble. Now for me, my zero tolerance policy. I have a zero tolerance policy on one thing, and everybody knows what that is because I've been pretty adamant about it for a long time. You know what it is, right?
Sure.
Domestic violence with zero tolerance policy. You go beat up a woman. I don't care. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your status is. You go beat up on a woman. You shouldn't represent this community. You shouldn't represent any of these teams. You have no business. I mean, I want you gone.
Yeah.
So that's my zero tolerance policy. All these other things, drugs and alcohol, I'm not, you know, again, I don't condone it, but I don't think people should be necessarily be fired over it. But domestic violence, yes, you should be gone.
It was a derby performance for the ages. Was it tainted? Do we care? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
It's ridiculous.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
And for that, let's go back to the studio, the Auction Community Studios, where Andy Greenberg is standing by with today's poll question.
Hello.
Hi, Andy.
Oh, how you guys doing?
Good.
Well, one is we put out one that's not so much a poll, just a general look at our audience, and it was what's one word to describe the Dodgers getting Manny Machado.
So we're
getting some of those in, and some people aren't following directions. They're putting a few different words there. But here's the poll question we have pinned to the top of the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. If the MLB All-Star Game is rained out, what should they do? 51% say cancel it.
Cancel it.
20% say wait it out and play later in the night, wait out the rain, play it later. And 29% say push it to Wednesday.
Okay, first of all, I think this is...
I don't think you can cancel it. I think you got to play it.
I don't think it matters because I just saw a live shot of the field on ESPN2, and they're watering down the infield. The tarp is off. They're watering down the infield. So I don't think we have to
much
worry about it.
Much ado about nothing.
I believe it is much ado about
much
nothing
ado about
at this
nothing.
Point. But it was pouring as of about an hour ago, so there's that. I don't want to cancel it. I mean...
All right, let's go to the other
cancel
one.
Cancel it?
What's one word that describes the Dodgers getting Machado? Damn it.
Yeah, that's one. Terrible.
Nauseating.
Nauseating. Yeah, there's
it's OVA, O-V-A.
See, people aren't following directions. We've got Alex Avila. They say, oh, that's one word. Here's a puking emoji. That's not a word.
Terrible.
Terrible. Well, terrible's terrible. You know, a word that only sports fans would use. We know what it means. Disappointment? That's not the most mild thing you could say. I'm disappointed the Dodgers got Manny Machado. Me too. I'm very disappointed by that. Yeah. That disappointed is not nearly strong enough. You need to come better than that. All right. So those are your poll questions of the day. Be somewhat clean when responding to the first one on what words you would use. But again, nothing official. You're not going to hear anything official today. I'm telling you, if he is going to the Dodgers,
they don't want to come.
They don't want it coming out today. Rob Manfred himself probably called Peter Angelos and the Dodgers and said, "Would you two cool it? Stop. Save it for tomorrow, please. Do not execute this trade today. It's the All-Star game. Stop it." I'm sure that's what happened. Sure.
Is there any way Machado doesn't play in a game?
No, but I'll tell you what. If he only gets one at bat.
I mean, he should be the first guy out.
Yeah.
First guy out. Bat him lead off, get him in the bat, don't even let him play in the field.
Yep. If he only gets the one at bat, then.
Hey, if you hit a double in the gap, just stop at first base.
Tells you everything you
just
need to know.
Just stop at first, we'll get you a pinch runner.
Yeah.
I don't want you making that turn going around second.
All right. Before we get into the All-Star game, this just came down a moment.
Arizona Sports. Breaking news.
Thank you, Jordan. I wasn't sure you were going to play that, but I have it right here in front of me. Statement from the Arizona Cardinals and Steve Keim regarding Steve Keim pleading guilty to DUI. Effective immediately, Steve Keim has been suspended for a period of 5 weeks and has been fined $200,000, which will be donated to the Arizona chapter of Mothers Against Drunk Driving. During that time, he will be barred from the Cardinals' facilities and prohibited from contact with the team.
Okay, there you go. So a suspension from the Cardinals, which is, you know, justified and warranted, and I'm sure Steve Keim accepting responsibility and Michael Bidwell coming down, and I would think in a strong manner. Hey, training camp starts when?
A week from Saturday.
A week from Saturday. So he will literally
the bulk of training camp.
Miss the bulk of training camp. He will not be there for the bulk of training camp.
Yep.
So
to the letter of the law, it would mean, I mean, if we're taking it exactly as 5 weeks from today, it would mean August 21st he would be back.
Okay. So that would be about, what, 2 or 3 weeks before the regular season opener, right?
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Roughly.
$200,000 donated to the Arizona chapter of Mothers Against Drunk Driving. That's good.
There's more
suspended,
here.
Suspended for 5 weeks. Okay.
In addition, Keim will not be permitted to return to the team until he has completed comprehensive counseling and evaluation programs, as well as a mandatory DUI education course. He will participate in community programs related to DUI awareness and education. Those who work within, this is from the statement, those who work within the National Football League, particularly those in leadership positions, bear a greater responsibility and are held to a higher standard than simply a legal one, and we feel that these measures are reflective of that.
Okay, here's a statement from Steve Keim. Once again, I apologize to everyone who has been negatively impacted by my actions and incredibly poor judgment, in particular the Cardinals, our fans, and my family. I fully deserve and accept the punishment that has been issued. My goal is to do everything I can to grow from this personally and help others learn from my inexcusable behavior. You know, for all intent and purposes, I mean, he took full responsibility, pled guilty, never tried to fight it, just accepted responsibility right from day one, is ready to do whatever he needs to do to not that you're not going to make it right, but whatever the punishment should be. The Cardinals' punishment is out. The Cardinals' punishment is a 5-week suspension and a $200,000 fine, plus you have to complete a bunch of courses.
Yeah.
And he will do that. And then in 5 weeks, he will be able to. And at that point, he'll probably, if I'm him, I accept the jail time, whatever it is, immediately. I want to get that over with.
Sure.
So this will be 5 weeks of hell for Steve Keim. And he put himself in his position. But this is something that he'll come out stronger. And in 5 weeks, he can move on with his life and get back to being the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals.
And let's be honest,
which he's very good at.
These are 5 very difficult weeks for a general manager to be away from the job.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, let's not sugarcoat that aspect of it either. This is a very difficult time for a general manager not to be there, evaluating his team on a daily basis, evaluating his roster on a daily basis,
yep.
helping to make roster decisions on a daily basis, signing players on a daily basis. I mean, look, Kime Time specials, the bulk of the Kime Time specials as we know them will happen during the next 5 weeks, have traditionally, typically happened during the next 5 weeks of the calendar for the Arizona Cardinals. He is suspended from activity relating to the Arizona Cardinals during five of the most important weeks. I mean, that to me speaks to how seriously the Cardinals, and to some extent I think the NFL, takes this matter with Steve Kime.
Well,
I mean, they're self-imposing
that,
this punishment right in the middle of one of the busiest times of the year for Steve Kime.
Yeah, listen, I like what they said. Those in leadership positions bear a greater responsibility or held to a higher standard than simply a legal one. We feel that these measures are reflective of that. He's not getting fired. He's going to get his job back. This will be a very, very difficult 5 weeks for him. It'll go very, very slowly. And when it's over, he'll go back to being the general manager of the Cardinals. And hopefully he learned a valuable lesson. The people that know him, listen, he is a good general manager. He's a good person. He made a terrible, terrible mistake. Okay, and he's got to pay for it. I mean, nobody's saying he doesn't have to pay for it. He's got to pay for it with the punishment from the Cardinals, and he'll have to pay with the punishment from the law, whatever the law says. If it says he's got to go to jail, and if he's got to do 2 days or 4 days or nine, whatever the law says, that he'll do it. He's accepted full responsibility, contacted the Cardinals immediately, and now he's going to try to better his life. I mean, if you read what you said, I mean, it talks about some of the things he has to do. He has to complete a mandatory DUI education course. He's got to participate in community programs related to DUI awareness and education. And he's not going to be able to return until he's completed these things. Counseling and evaluation programs. And he will do all of that. And in 5 weeks, Steve Kime will come back, humbled somewhat, but a better person. He'll come back a better person. Look, he made a terrible mistake. I would not fire him over it. He made a really bad mistake. It was poor judgment on his part. He made a mistake, and he's got to pay for it now.
I don't want people to think that we're being soft on Steve Kime, or we somehow approve of what he's done, or that we don't think what he did was a mistake or rough. Of course we
think
what he
did coming off like that at all
was a mistake, and of course what he did was wrong. Of course what he did was a mistake. He is owning up to it in ways that a lot of people typically don't do in our industry, right? In our industry, don't say, yep, I did it, punish me, do whatever you got to do. They run from it, they hide from it, they say it wasn't them, they make excuses, they say this, they say that. Where I'm giving credit to Steve Kime is his willingness to be so forward about this and say, yeah, I did it. Pled guilty to it, I did it, what are you going to do to me? Well, what's my punishment? That to me, okay, because we all make mistakes. We all do stupid things, moronic things. It's your ability to learn from those and move on from those and adapt from those. And Steve Kime has shown a willingness to embrace a mistake and kind of own it, for lack of a better way of putting it. He's owning it. What he did was horrible. I mean, he was drunk, of course, it was horrible, but at least he's owning it.
It's this time when you really appreciate the things that you have. And one of the things that Steve Kime has that he appreciates is a great job in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Working for an incredible organization with a great ownership and living in a great city. And this is when you take it for granted a little bit. And now you appreciate that. Listen, I mean, I appreciate what we do every single day. I mean, but it's part of my goal. I don't want to make any mistakes. I mean, I appreciate what we have. Doing the show together, me and you, and so I think at times, that's the wake up call. You screw up, and then you realize, wow, I got some great things going on in my life. I don't want to jeopardize that. I don't want to jeopardize the great job that I have being a general manager. So Steve Kime will do his punishment. He'll do his time, and in 5 weeks he'll be back. He'll be running his Cardinals organization, and hopefully putting it forward, towards a contending team in these next couple.
So
of
when
years.
We come back on the Burns and Gambo show. Steve Kime is now suspended from the Arizona Cardinals. How will this punishment affect the negotiations on the David Johnson contract? We'll talk about that next here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, Burns and Gambo Show. The news of the day breaking right in front of our eyes and kudos to our web team who were the first to report over on KTAR.com of Steve Keim's guilty plea to an extreme DUI, which is over .15 from the incident on the night of the 4th of July. He pled guilty today in Chandler Court to the extreme DUI, which was over .15. The organization, if you're just tuning in, the Cardinals organization responded swiftly, strongly, and in a matter that reflects how, I think, how serious they take what Steve Keim has done, because they have, in essence, suspended him during one of the busiest times of Steve Keim's professional calendar.
It's a credit to the organization, you know, and Michael Bidwell for standing strong. And listen, a punishment was due, not only by the law, but by the organization. I mean, a punishment is due. Listen, Bernsey, I mean, you're a talented guy. If you had made a mistake like that, you know, inside, with the job that you have, you probably would have been punished not only by the law, but by the radio station.
Of course.
Same thing with me. But we're also valuable members of the team, and I doubt they would fire us over something like that. But we would deserve to be punished, and I would accept it. You would deserve to be punished if you did something like that. And when your boss comes to you and says, look, you know, you're gonna get in trouble with the law, but we also have to do something. We have to do something that shows that we're taking a strong stance on that. Because you can't just say okay, forget it, it's over. Whatever the courts say, he'll get. No, you need to be a strong organization,
yeah.
And you need your players to see that you won't accept it for anybody.
Well, that's
a
good point. You need to send a message to your
the players.
And I think
there's
you've
not double
done
standards
that with this suspension. I think you've sent a message to the players. Hey, this is. We treat this seriously. This is a big deal. We just suspended our general manager for basically training camp, which is the worst time in the world for you to not have your general manager. You're bringing guys in. You're bringing guys out. You're constantly shifting and changing the roster. You're looking for those time specials, and now you don't have your general manager? I mean, if you put two and two together, you realize this is, you could argue, the worst time of the year to suspend your general manager, right?
Sure.
So the Cardinals have suspended Steve Keim for 5 weeks.
Five miserable weeks, and then he'll get his life back, and he'll go on and hopefully learn from the mistake that he made and be a productive member of society, which I totally expect, because he is a good person. He made an awful mistake, and he's getting punished for it.
He's fined $200,000, which I kind of skated over the first time I read
it. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Sure.
Which is being donated to the Arizona chapter of Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Awesome.
Way.
That's
Steve
awesome.
Keim apologized to everybody who's been negatively impacted.
Why does it only have to be mothers against drunk driving? I mean, we're all against drunk fathers. Everybody's against drunk driving. Nobody.
I think because it was founded by a mother.
Is that why?
Who lost her child to a drunk driver.
Okay, is that why?
So
it just sort of started
as that. And yeah. I mean, you don't have to be a mother to be a member of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, I would assume. Steve
Keim.
Well,
that's a very good donation for that organization.
No doubt.
It's
no
a
doubt.
Great donation for them. Help raise more awareness about
from
it.
From what I understand. And from what I've been told, there will be no interim general manager.
No.
There will be nobody who's the de facto decision maker over there.
5 weeks.
They will, as a personnel department, they will work to make the decisions that normally would have been made by Steve Keim in consultation with everybody in that department. I'm hearing that from a couple of NFL sources. So that's how it's going to go down in the front office.
You got to understand, there's also a game plan and a blueprint and we discussed some things last week while you were gone, and they will follow that. Like there is a board, and there are players that they are going to look at. You know, Trey Boston, regardless of what he said, still needs a job and is on their radar. So is Kenny Vaccaro, and I mentioned last week a new name, Mike Mitchell, is available as they're looking at safety. So you know, Steve Keim has a game plan. I want to get one of these three safeties. Once one of them is ready to accept the minimum, then we'll get one of these guys. So you put that in place as you're leaving. Okay, listen, I'm not going to be here for 5 weeks, but we're going to need a safety. Negotiate with these agents. Once one of these guys is willing to take a minimum deal, let's get him. Whether it's Trey Boston, Kenny Vaccaro, Mike Mitchell. So there is a plan that's in place for everybody to follow that was put in place by the general manager.
Now, in the midst of all this is the David Johnson holdout. And he missed the last couple of days of mandatory minicamp. Training camp is a week from this Saturday. We have not heard whether he will or will not be there. We know what happened yesterday with Le'Veon Bell and him not coming to a long-term agreement with the Steelers. And if he plays, when he plays in 2018, it'll be under the franchise tag. With Steve Keim not around to make that decision due to this 5-week suspension, how does this impact the David Johnson conversation for the Arizona Cardinals?
Again, I think there's a blueprint, a negotiation. I think the Cardinals already know where they will, you know, what they'd be willing to do where they would where they'd be willing to go. I think you can have negotiations, but I don't know that anything, you know, will get done without your general manager. The Cardinals have control for 3 years, $1.8 million this year, and then 2 years of a franchise tag. You know, that number altogether will be about $26, $27 million over 3 years. He's 26 years old. It's a really good question. Does this affect their ability to get anything done with David Johnson? It might. It might. Now, I don't think they were, like, I do think they were open, they were willing to discuss, and I had reported last week that discussions would soon begin again, but now these discussions could be with Michael. Maybe Michael Bidwell's the one who has these discussions. Michael is a...
Or Terry, or...
Yeah, it could be all of them, collaboration? Mm-hmm. Collaboration. Listen, Michael's a smart guy, okay? And he's a good owner, and, you know, Michael knows, you know... He's fully aware of what the cap situation is and what the organization wants to do regarding David Johnson. If I'm the agent right now for David Johnson, that's my first calls to Michael. Okay, who do I speak?
Who
with?
Am I talking to
who
now?
Who am I talking to?
Right.
Who's
taking my
Terry?
Calls?
I talk to you. Let's negotiate. So it might be Michael. I mean, it literally might be Michael that ends up. You know, if there is a deal with David Johnson, it might be Michael that does that deal.
It's possible. It's very possible. Lewis Riddick on ESPN talking about the Le'Veon Bell deal and how that will define and shape the running back markets. Come on.
He's taking a big risk because if he gets hurt, obviously all bets are off. Number two, how does he know that anyone else is going to be willing to top what Pittsburgh was offering him? But look, I quite honestly, I hope he does blow the market up because I think it'd be great for everyone else at his position and everyone else in the league in general.
Now, there's a report out there from Ian Rappaport that the Steelers offered Le'Veon Bell a 5-year, $70 million contract.
With $33 million guaranteed.
With $33 million guaranteed. Now, to that point, I saw where Ian Rappaport tweeted out a little bit ago. Mentioned yesterday this let me get this tweet here in front of me. Mentioned yesterday the Steelers' final offer to Le'Veon Bell was 5 years, $70 million. More context today. The fully guaranteed part was his signing bonus of just over $10 million. He would have made about $33 million over the first 2 years in a rolling guaranteed structure.
But the second year wasn't guaranteed?
The second year wasn't guaranteed.
Well, then you can't do it if you're Le'Veon Bell.
That according
play for
to
the franchise tag of $14.5 million and then go on to free agency.
Yeah,
next
I mean,
year.
Unless it was a true $33 million guarantee, which it sounds like the latest information we're getting from Rappaport was that it wasn't a true $33 million guarantee, that it was only a $10 million guarantee, you got to take your chances, don't you? I mean, because 5 years, $70 million, if it's not guaranteed, what does it mean?
If I was him and I hadn't made any money like David Johnson, I would have taken the $33 million. But because he's made franchise tag money the last 2 years, he's made a lot of money. Like, he's going to make $14.5 million this year. So he's made a lot of money. So from my perspective, if I'm Le'Veon Bell, okay, I feel like I could roll that dice because I've made $27 million over the last 2 years. $27 million, I'm getting it, over the last 2 years. And then he hits free agency at 27 years old. He'll be 27 when he hits free agency. And at that point, I'm just looking. Remember when the Cardinals signed Edgerrin James?
Yes.
So the Cardinals signed Edgerrin James... when he was after the 2005 season, he was 27 years old, I think. I think when the Cardinals signed Edgerrin James, he was the same age that Le'Veon Bell is hitting free agency.
Yeah.
He had played, you know, 7 years with Indianapolis, and then he played 3 years with the Cardinals. So the Cardinals got him, and he gave them... you know, 2 seasons of over 1,000 yards rushing, and then he fell off the face of the earth after that at 29.
Which is reasonable to expect that at Le'Veon Bell at the age of 27. He'll give you 2 good years
I think the Edgerrin James comparison is a fair one.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at the amount of carries and touches that they each had, but Edgerrin James' first year with the Cardinals was at 28 years old. Le'Veon Bell's first year with another football team is going to be at 27 years old, right?
Yeah.
27, somewhere around there. So, because what's Bell now? Bell's 26 right now. He's actually younger than David Johnson by a couple of months. So he'll be 27 when he hits free agency. Edgerrin James was 27 his last year with the Colts. Then he signed with the Cardinals.
The reports are coming out that the negotiations will continue with David Johnson. This does not preclude a David Johnson deal from getting done. during the suspension from Steve Keim that there are plenty of people within the organization who are capable of negotiating a contract with David Johnson, and certainly some of the legwork has already been done.
Yeah.
Exactly. Some of the legwork by Steve Keim and this group has already been done, so there are people within that organization who, if there is a deal to be driven home, can drive it home over the next few weeks without Steve Keim.
Sure.
Because some of the parameters have already been worked on, the discussions, the negotiations have already taken place, and between Bidwell and Terry and Michael Eisner and all the guys who are in there, there are guys in there who can make that happen.
Yes.
Who can make that happen.
Yeah. But like I said, I mean, all the parameters are in place for what safety they're going to get, and what happens if there's a list, if this guy goes down or that guy goes down, or, you know, all of those things are in place, you know, from the general man. Look, it sucks. Like you said, it's actually terrible timing. You know,
it's terrible timing. It's the worst time in the world to lose your GM.
You know, you're going to miss 5 weeks. Camp won't start for 10 days, but he will be back during camp.
Yep.
Like, he will be there for the last couple of weeks of camp.
The Dodgers are expected to land Manny Machado. So when it happens, or to make Gambo happy, if it happens, what will the Diamondbacks do in response? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.